Hello friends, this is Harry Venton with you again, and it is my pleasure once more to welcome you all to this time of radio fellowship. We have prepared for your listening enjoyment another interesting program of Times of Refreshing, and it is our prayer that the music and the message we share with you from the Word of God will be a blessing in your life today. I Know That My Redeemer Liveth was Jenny Lind's, the Swedish Nightingale's, favourite text. The words are inscribed on her tomb at Great Malvern Cemetery. In the Messiah, this was the part she loved so passionately to sing. Born in Sweden in 1820, she became the Queen of Song. She was known as the young woman with the marvellous voice. She once wrote to Professor Blackie the following words: "My unceasing prayer is that what I give to my fellows may continue to live on through eternity, and that the giver of the gift, and not the creature to whom he lent it, may be praised." Asked why she abandoned the stage at the very height of her success, she replied, laying her finger on the Bible, "When every day it made me think less of this, what could I do?" Before we listen to our first recording, I would like to read to you that portion of scripture where Jenny Lind's favourite text is recorded. It is found in Job chapter 19, verse 25 to verse 27. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me."
He lives through.
The words we have read from Job chapter 19 are tremendous words. They are words that bear testimony to Job's faith in God. Job was a man who had been passing through severe storms in his life. He had to encounter and endure many conflicts. He was a man without true friends. There was no one who could come to his side and give him a word of comfort. Even his so-called friends Eliphaz, Zophar and Bildad spoke harshly to him. Yet, here at this point in his life, he is able to rise above his afflictions and boldly testify, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." For sure, there were things in Job's life he did not know. He did not know why he was stripped of every comfort. He did not know why he had to suffer the loss of his family and material possessions. He did not know why he was crushed down to the dust with a load of sorrow. But this one thing he did know, that his Redeemer liveth. This was the anchor to his soul, a personal faith in a living God. This blessed hope, this assurance, brought a calmness to his spirit. It stilled the storms, and having cast his anchor within the veil, his mind was kept steady from this time forward. Who is this Redeemer of whom Job so joyfully testifies? My dear friends, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the complete volume of a scripture do we read of another single person who can lay claim to the title of being the Redeemer of mankind. There is only one Redeemer provided for fallen man, and Jesus Christ is that Redeemer. Now, after we listen to our next song, we will briefly consider from the scriptures what is the role of a Redeemer.
My heart was distressed 'neath Jehovah's great frown, and lo, in that pit where my sins dragged me down. But I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to these golden days. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. The strong rock by his side, my feet are established, it's here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain. I'll stand by God's grace till that crown I gain. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock. He put a song in my heart today. It's a song of praise. Hallelujah.
teach us that the role of a redeemer is primarily to buy back a possession once held. For that is the meaning of the word redeem, to buy back by the paying of a price demanded. In the Old Testament, this word redeem appears many times, and frequently it is related to the people of Israel. When God in His grace brought them as a nation into the promised land to take up their allotted inheritance, in His infinite wisdom, He gave them a law that would enable anyone who had lost their inheritance through poverty or by death, such a person could look to a relative, a person who was a next of kin, to perform the role of a redeemer on their behalf. For instance, in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 47 to 49, we read of a next of kin performing the rite of redeeming a mortgaged estate. Also, in the book of Ruth, chapters 2, 3 and 4, we have the beautiful story of Boaz, who was a next of kin to Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth, performing this role of a redeemer. He redeemed the land that belonged to Naomi and Ruth, and in this incident, he completed the role as redeemer in taking Ruth, who was a widow, to be his wife. The law stated, if a husband died leaving no children to claim the inheritance, then the next of kin, performing the role of redeemer, must take the widow to be his wife in order to raise children to the name of the deceased. Ruth chapter 4, verses 5 and 10. Another interesting factor in relation to a kinsman redeemer, it was required of that person that he possess five qualities. 1. He must have the right as kinsman. This was so with Boaz. In chapter 2 of Ruth and verse 1 we read, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And then in verse 20, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Secondly, the person must be willing to redeem. In Boaz, we see that he was willing. As much as he had the right as a kinsman, there was one who was nearer than he was, and Boaz said to the nearer relative that he must perform the role as redeemer, to which he agreed. Boaz then said to him, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. This kinsman said to Boaz, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. The man was not willing. Thirdly, the next of kin, acting as a redeemer, must have the power to do so. A slave cannot redeem a slave. He must be a free man. Boaz had the power, for he was free of debt. Fourthly, he must have the price. Boaz had the price. He was a mighty man of wealth. Fifthly, he must have the receipt. Now, the custom in Israel at this time was that if a near of kin was not able to fulfill the role of redeeming an inheritance, he would take off his shoe and give it to another relative who was willing. Boaz was willing, and with the shoe in hand, went to the elders in Israel and said, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was of Chilion, and Mahlon, and of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And the people and the elders said, we are witnesses. Ruth chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. The work of the Redeemer was not done in secret. It was all done in the open. It was a public demonstration for all to see. Boaz, in all that he did on that day, is to us a picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ is, our heavenly Redeemer. We have more to share with you on this topic after we listen to our next recording.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just how he came to love me so. I guess he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary.
Exodus in the Old Testament means the way out. It is often referred to as the Book of Redemption. For the people of Israel, it was the way out of bondage into liberty. For many years, they were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. In the early chapters of Exodus, we read how God delivered them from their bondage in a twofold way. One, by the blood of the slain lamb that was applied to the lintel and the two side posts of the door. And secondly, by his own power, by his outstretched arm. Now when we come to the New Testament, we have extended thoughts on what it is to be redeemed. Paul speaks of it. Peter dwells on it. We read of it in the book of Hebrews. And the Apostle John, he too, speaks of it in the book of the Revelation. In these many references we read of who are redeemed, by whom they are redeemed, how they are redeemed, and why they are redeemed. Three different Greek words are used to show the full meaning of being redeemed. The first word is agorazo, which means to purchase in the marketplace, to own, to possess. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23, Paul tells the believers at Corinth that they are bought with a price. Slave markets in Paul's days were common. They present to us a picture of mankind today, sold under sin. Romans 7 and verse 14 and Ephesians 2 and verse 2. To deliver the sinner from the slavery of sin, our Lord Jesus came from heaven into the marketplace of sin and paid the price to purchase the sinner. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6 says, He gave himself a ransom for all. He shed his own precious blood. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. The one who has been purchased becomes the possession of the purchaser, our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 and 20 says, We are not our own, for we have been bought with a price. Therefore we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Now the second Greek word is ex agorazo. Ex means out from. So the slave who has been purchased in the marketplace is not left there. He is purchased to be taken out. When our Lord Jesus paid the purchase price for the sinner's redemption at Calvary's cross, he did it so to lift the sinner out of his sin and out from under the judgment of God. Paul reminds us in Galatians 3 and verse 13 that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now the third Greek word is lutro, which means to loose, set free by paying a price. Here again I use the illustration of the slave market. The slave has not only been purchased and now has a new master, but he hears from his new master the best news in his life. His master says to him, I have purchased you, not to keep you as a slave, but to set you free, that you might enjoy liberty again. Have you got the picture, friends? Jesus has paid the price to redeem us and purchased us for his own possession and brings us out from wrath and judgment to enjoy the liberty of his matchless grace. We read in John chapter 8 and verse 36, If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The story is told of Count Zinzendorf. As a young man, he once visited the town of Dusseldorf, where there was a fine collection of paintings. He went into the art gallery to spend an hour or two admiring the works of some of the great masters. Coming to a picture of Christ suffering on the cross, he stood transfixed before the scene and read the words that the artist Steinberg had added to his painting. All this I did for thee, what hast thou done for me? This was the turning point in his life. On returning home, he consecrated himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, ever so grateful that he had been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He devoted himself to serve the Lord. When we receive Jesus Christ into our heart and life, we are free from the slavery of sin to love and serve our Lord and Master too.
Like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I fell. But Jesus came and whispered to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free.
Trust that our ministry has been a spiritual blessing in your life today, and that you are really saved and can say from the depth of your heart that I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that you are looking forward to seeing your Lord and Saviour face to face. That will be a glorious day when all the redeemed will be gathered to be with him through the countless years of eternity, singing the praises of his wondrous love and redeeming grace. As we leave you with that thought to ponder, we remind you that today's program, number 1076, has been recorded on cassette and is available to you free and postpaid. You may obtain your free copy by writing to us at this address: Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale 3140. When requesting your copy, please state this number: 1076, 1076. The address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale 3140. Today's broadcast has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria and is made possible by God's provision through his people. Now, till next we meet, this is Harry Venton for the Voice of Melody team, wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.